I said, Mrs. Barnes, I'm on the bridge commission, but I don't know of any such rule as that. Well, she said it's there. Well, she was taken down because she felt she told a member of the bridge commission not to go near the bridge.
Oh.
And, but I got to be very friendly with her after that.
Oh.
I used to take her card and stuff. Yes, she was a very nice woman, but she was awful choice of their property. And there, I've got that picture too, in the old hotel where the Catholic Church now stands.
Oh.
The Allen House.
Oh.
Yes, I've been through it. It was abandoned, but it lost about 1,800 to the hotel.
Oh, it probably had lots of trade.
Yes, it's known as the Allen House. Well, in one of these papers, and then the same one that tells about a joke that Gerda Colbert told.
At the meeting. At the meeting.
At, yes, that's right. She said that her father used to work on the road with horses, and he had two teams that looked a good deal alike. And he'd work the one team in the forenoon, the other in the afternoon. And she said they wondered how his horses would be so frisky working so hard. Yes, that is the one that tells about yes, I was talking to Merrill about that horse. They sent my picture.
Yeah, I see. You said once there were five stores, and it was Bennett's.
Yes, sir. Two stores, and Spalding Petty, and Merrick Brothers. The Merrick Brothers store was where Ashley Duckett lives now.
And then Mr. Fletcher had two stores?
Yes.
And then was Mrs. Brooks? Mrs. Brooks have a store in West Bridport now?
No, it was Erastus Bailey.
Oh, he had a store?
Yes.
Oh.
He had the store where, well, the building is there now.
Yes.
And, well, he made money there, too. He was the acting postmaster there in West Bridport, and he was also a mail carrier to Crown Point. And he used to sell coal and brick and different stuff.
That came up the lake? That came up the lake by barge?
Yes. Well, he had a little brickyard there.
Oh.
And so on, and he sold stuff there.
Did he make the brick?
No, it was down to Westford Port.
Westford
Port. Not West Addison,
no.
Westford Port. Down to south of where Billy Keyes lives now.
Yes.
I remember going down there to Sunday, we were building the kitchen part of the house. And he was just going with the mail. And he laid his bag down in the boat, and he began to help me load the brick. And he'd take four and throw them, and I'd catch them places. And so I wanted to know about how much a load I was getting. And I said, "How much do these brick weigh, Mr. Bailey?" He said, "No time to talk, no time to talk." Well, after a while, he straightened up and he says, "Young man, do you know how much a load you're getting on?" "Oh," I said, "I asked you what the brick weighed." "You said you didn't have time to talk." I said, "They weigh 4 pounds apiece." And he went and throwing them to me again.
Did you take just one load for your house?
Oh, it took 3 or 4 loads altogether. You see, we've got a cistern under that part of the house, a big cistern, and that is brick laid up, and then cement plastered out the brick.
Oh.
So it took several loads of brick altogether.
Yes.
Yes, I think there's 2,000 brick in that cistern.
Oh. And you got them with your horse?
Did I?
You get them with your horse?
Yes, with the horses, 2 horses. One of my horses wasn't too good to draw, and I was... here's my papers. Did I give you the teacher's desk that used to be in our school house there is in the Shelburne Museum?
Yes, you told me that.
And I give you about the 3 boys leaving for the Civil War.
I don't remember.
From that schoolhouse, well, there was a recruiting officer came there, Melvin Wilkinson, and David Stone, and Hiram Kingsland. I've heard heard Mr. Gibbs tell, he remembered seeing them get into the wagon with the recruiting officer. It was when General Early was marching on Washington, and they was recruiting all the men they could to defend Washington. And, they took a lot of schoolboys.
Yes.
But afterwards, they went in the Army in the South.
Oh.
Well, did I tell you about, there used to be a place where they carded wool on the brook?
No, I didn't hear about that.
You know about, did you ever see anyone spin?
No, not to know how it's done.
They took the wool to a place where it was made into bats, about 7 or 8 feet long, and about as wide as that, and probably as thick again. And, these ladies that could spin, I don't know, there was a spinach wheel and a little wheel with a little spindle on it, and they put it on that spindle.
Oh.
And they turn the spinach wheel, and they draw the bats out so they'd spin yarn.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to do a lot in knitting those days. Now I remember my grandfather Palmer had a little flock of sheep, and he always kept one black sheep. They carded that, and they used to mix it in to color the other wool.
Oh. Did each woman do her own spinning? Yeah.
They do the spinning. My grandmother had a spinning wheel. And my Uncle George's wife didn't know about spinning, but grandmother taught her how to spin.
Oh.
And she's the one I've seen spin. she sat there with a spinet wheel, and the other hand, the guided the sides of the iron by the lamp, by pulling
it out.
Yes, when they'd pull it, it'd be smaller. Yes, there's a spinet wheel there in our place. And it's the upper part of the creamery building.
Oh.
It was in the house when we came there.
Oh, it wasn't yours then?
No.
No.
There was something I felt awful bad about when I bought that, how they call the women place. There was a loom to weave with in the upper part of the garret. And I didn't think anything about it. I left it there. Well, Mrs. Weemage used to weave carpets. And, you know, the great big roll that they'd roll the carpet on, or rug. And as they wove the carpet, they'd turn that roll off. Well, then they had the thread in and they crossed all the time. Well, they'd throw what they call a shuttle through.
Yes.
And then they'd beat that up. Well, the way it's hired, Mrs. Weymouth's sister called me one day and wanted to know if she could take that loom. Said she wanted to weave some carpets. It was taken apart and put in this garret. I said, of course you can. I said, I'll bring it up. Well, I went to look for it. All there was left was that big roll.
Oh.
Some of the tenants there had burned it.
Oh.
I felt awful bad. Now, that would have been a nice thing, you know, to set up when the congregational people had their day there.
That's right, for the centennial.
Yes, I felt awfully when I found that. I think I know the one that did it. His name was Emerson.
Oh.
He probably got short of wood. But all there was left was that great big roll.
And who was Louise Guyard? Related to John?
Yes, she was his aunt.
Oh.
But John is a Catholic, and they wasn't.
Oh.
And that's another thing I come to tell you. The house where the Coles live, there's a man who came home from the Civil War, and he built that house to live in, and he built a little building down below.
Oh.
Yeah, where LaBerge had his hardware store. The lower part was a shoemaker's shop, and the upper part was a harness shop. He was a harness maker.
Oh.
And his name was Clark Huntley. Well, the lower part, I guess, was for a good many years used by Louis Guyard. He used to make and repair shoes there. He was John Guyard's uncle, our grandfather.
Grandfather.
Yes, and he had a son, Louis Guyard, that worked there with him until he got married. And he married Barbara Duker, and she, her father owned and lived where the Mannings do.
Aiken Duckett?
Yes, Aiken Duckett's daughter she was.
I see.
And, when he married this Barbara, he went down to run the farm. He gave up the shoemaking.
Oh, so there was no more shoemaking then?
No.
Oh.
Well, the old man kept the shoe shop until he died.
Oh.
He didn't make too many until he got to, so he couldn't.
I see.
Yes. Well, then there used to be another shoemaker shop right south between our place and Houston's.
Oh.
Right at the foot of the hill. You can see the old wreck where the house was.
Oh.
But there was a man by the name of Kenfield that had a shoemaker shop in one of the rooms there.
Hmm.
Now, that house too, as I remember, when there was a dentist in there.
Dentist?
Dentist,
yes. Oh.
Doctor. That's funny, I know that name.
Well.
He afterwards killed himself.
Oh.
And I remember when there was a laundry in the back part of the house, too.
Oh.
Alan Andrews had a laundry there. And believe me, he could do nice work, too.
What was his name?
Alan Andrews.
Alan Andrews. Oh.
And he used to, now he'd iron white, those days, you know, the collars were separate from the shirts. And he'd iron a collar so it looked like a new collar.
Oh.
Well, he did nice work.
He must have.
But he used to drink awfully.
Oh.
His, they owned a farm down in the west part of the town. His aunt's name was Barrows. And well, I guess she brought him up. But anyway, he wasn't making the farming go good. So she sold the farm and went up there and bought that place.
Oh.
But, well, he was just drunk too much of the time.
I see.
Dr. Fisk, that was the one, Dr. Ben Fisk.
Oh, the dentist.
Yes, he was the dentist.
Mm.
Yes, he was a graduate of the Baltimore Dental School.
Oh.
And he was a good dentist. He filled teeth for me.
Oh. Did he stay there until he died?
No, he went to Virginia later.
Oh.
He married Beatrice Morby in West Addison, and he went to Virginia.
Oh.
No, people wouldn't think today about that.
No. I have to go in here.
I wonder if I gave you about the Hemingway Orchard being the second largest in the state.
No.
In 1800.
Oh.
That was the Romaine Hemingway Orchard.
Oh.
Yes, it was on the side hill.
That was Lee's father?
Yes, that's right. And he bought a place over where, over this way, and he cleared the timber off and set out an orchard there for Lee. But Lee never could make it go.
No.
I'll tell you, Lee was one of the nicest fellows that ever was, but he wasn't too much of a businessman.
Oh.
You know, he married Hazel Russell, too. Do you remember her?
Yes.
You know, of course, she was pretty bossy.
Oh.
You wasn't a member of the Grange, but she was in the Grange and she wanted everything to go her way.
Oh.
No, Hazel was a good woman, but
yeah.
She was domineering. Well, did I tell you that I remembered the storehouse on your land?
No, I wanted you to tell me.
Yes, it was near the South Dock, you know what?
Yeah. There's a square of stones.
Yes, it was on I presume the foundation's there now.
Yes.
Well, I remember when there was quite a building there where they used to store stuff.
Oh.
I don't remember when they used it, but I remember the building. The boats used to land there, you know. And
was that when Mr. Wilkinson had it?
Yes, they lived there. They were there then. And they had the ferry there. See, that ferry, I don't know how far back it went, but it was a Heman Wilkinson that run it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then when he died, his son Lewis Wilkinson operated for quite a number of years, and he finally died, and William Vanderhoof bought it, and he operated until the bridge was opened. Did I tell you about the Fletcher Academy?
No.
Well, that stood right south of where Ashley Wolcott lives, right in the corner of that meadow.
Oh.
And the Fletchers had lots of money, and they were kind of high-toned people.
Oh.
And they put up that little building for high school for their children.
Did you go there?
No.
No?
No, it was closed before I...
Oh.
Mrs. Fisher, Grace Hunt's mother, went to school there.
Oh.
Her father was a Methodist minister at Bridport.
Oh.
And another one that I knew that went there was Mrs. Flora Parrish, Ashley's grandmother.
Oh, yes.
You know, they lived right north of you.
Yes, that's right. How many went at one time?
Well, they might have been 25 or 30.
Oh.
But it was called the Fletcher Academy.
That was the first high school.
Yes, that's right. And I don't remember. I'm tearing down the building, but I suppose they took it down. And... Yes, then later, in 1894, I guess, they had a high school in Bridport.
Oh?
It was in the Masonic Hall.
Oh.
There was one teacher.
Huh?
And it was Miss Cora Smith.
Oh.
Her home was at the Stone House in Anderson.
Oh.
They said she was an exceptionally good teacher.
A relative of Guy's?
What's that?
Was Guy Smith related to her?
Yes, she was Guy Smith's great aunt.
Oh. And how many went then?
Why, there was probably 25 or 30.
Who do you remember that went there?
Yes, I remember Cora Smith. And then... The next year was George Wright from Weybridge. He is a graduate of Middlebury College. And I thought he was a very good teacher. I went to school to him.
Oh.
I used to drive, you know.
And Gertie Colburn.
Well, Gertie went later.
Oh.
She went to, I had the school run by George Wright. And then there was a Miss Brown, Miss Abbott, and Miss Brown, other teachers.
Oh.
The last teacher they had there was Miss Ruth Snow from Montpelier.
Oh.
And she married Henry Nichols, my brother's wife's brother.
Oh.
And he wasn't too much of a farmer. I don't know, they parted anyway. But yes, this Fletcher Academy, I should say, run from 70 to 80.
1870 to 1880.
Yes. And then Rhoda Farron's grave is in the Bridport Cemetery. Now, I don't know if you know who Rhoda Farron was.
No.
Well, She was, her name was formerly Smith. She was related to Smith at Bridgeport. And her husband was an officer in Washington's Army, and they wintered at Valley Forge. And he wrote to her and sent it by Marshal Tony that how conditions were there, so bad. Well, she got right to work to knitting socks, and she went around among the neighbors and got them to knit socks and made clothes for the soldiers. And she took them with an ox team to Valley Forge.
Oh!
Yeah, she went around with an ox team and picked up the clothes and took them to Valley Forge.
Oh. Where did she live?
I don't know that part, but she was noted for that. And her husband died after the war, and her relatives went to where she lived there in New Jersey and got her.
Oh.
And brought her and her family to Bridgeport. Oh. And she always lived in Bridgeport after that. But she was noted for, and did an awful lot for the soldiers.
Yes.
And Nancy McKillen was a Smith and was distantly related to her.
Oh.
Well, Mrs. McKillen said to me one day, she said, I walked and walked and walked to that cemetery looking for Rhoda Farron's grave. Well, I said, you probably looked for too big a stone. I said, her stone's only about that high.
3 feet.
And I remember Memorial Day of the ladies of the Grand Army having service at her grave.
Oh.
But I said, you go into the first gate by the Masonic Hall and go about halfway through and look to the left and you'll find that little stone.
Oh.
Yes, well, I thought I'd tell you about that anyway.
To go back to the high school, how long was the high school in
Upper? I don't know just how long it lasted. I've got one picture. It's here. I'll have. This is a lady get it.
Well, I have to go pretty soon. It's getting kind of late.
Yes.
Well, I don't want to tire him either.
And I sure told you about the salt and coal loads.
He can stand it.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, those pictures.
I think they're in your box.
There's a box of pictures there.
I think you have them right here.
Oh. Years ago, and there's one that was got up there, all gone now, that was in it.
Oh. Horace Payne, Charlie Barber, Barney Myrick, John Petty, Lee Palmer, Fred Spaulding, Herman Smith, David Myrick, and so on. Yep.
Horace Payne was Wallace Payne's father.
Oh.
He was a nice fellow, but he was awful quick-tempered.
He is a lot better this time than he was.
Oh, good. Oh, well, I don't want to do that again.
Well, it just got on his mind, you see. Oh. Kind of a delirious thing.
Oh, well, I don't want to do that.
But he's very much, he's 75% better now than he was.
Mrs. G.E. Myrick, Mrs. J.G. Petty, and Miss Emma Sunderland, David Myrick, Herman Smith.
Was you there when that marker was dedicated?
Yes, at Harkey's. I went there. Yep.
I thought that the ex-Governor Johnson was there. He was taking pictures.
Oh.
And I thought Mrs. well, I sometimes forget names. I thought she had to have her picture taken.
Mildred.
Well, then they made me get in there, too.
Mildred Hartke.
Mrs. Hartke, yes. There's one morning I was ready for church.
Buggy and a horse. And your brother? Lee, your brother with you?
No, he was my cousin.
Oh.
He lives in Detroit now. And I think an awful lot of him.
He's an old car.
That's in a parade.
Yes.
And there's an old home day.
1930, yeah. Church Vestry and Masonic Hall. Bridport, Parade Band Sports. Refreshment.
There was a 4th of July celebration. That's a Crown Point band.
Oh. 1904 or 1905, July 4th.
There's a bear that they hung up the shot down below Charlie Hurst's.
Oh. June 1905.
That picture was taken to show the colt. She won a premium at Middlebury Fair.
Oh.
But...
Maud in the wagon. Who's Maud?
Yeah, that's George's wife.
Oh.
It was soon after they was married. And this is a nice little... Pine Grove there now.
Oh. In Middlebury?
Huh?
In Middlebury?
No, that's not our...